Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the PLDT conference call to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the first half of 2014. This conference call is being recorded. Replay information will be provided at the end of the call. At this point, I would like to turn you over to Melissa Verhelde-Dios, Head of Investor Relations for PLDT, for the introduction. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the first half of 2014. As mentioned in the conference call invitation, today's presentation is posted on our website. For those who have not been able to do so, you may download the presentation from www.pldt.com under the Investor Relations section. For today's presentation, we have with us members of the PLDT Group Management Team, namely Mr. Manny Pangilinan, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Polly Nazareno, President and Chief Executive Officer of both PLDT and SMART, Mr. Chris Young, Chief Financial Advisor of PLDT, Ms. Annabel Lim Chua, SVP Treasurer of PLDT and Chief Financial Officer of SMART, and Attorney Ray C. Espinosa. At this point, let me turn the floor over to Mr. Polly Nazareno for the presentation.
Thank you, Melissa. Good afternoon. Allow me to share with you PLDT's financial and operating results for the first 6 months of 2014. On slide one, the upward trajectory in data and broadband revenues continued to underpin the company's performance in the second quarter of 2014, keeping PLDT on the growth track and in a favorable position to meet our full-year guidance. Service revenues for the first half of 2014 improved by 2% year-on-year to $82.5 billion. Our fixed line registered a 5% year-on-year growth, while our wireless business remained stable. EBITDA for the period increased by 1% compared with the second half of 2013, but declined by 4% or $1.6 billion year-on-year to $38.2 billion. Service revenue increases were overtaken by the rise in subsidies, particularly in our wireless business, and higher cash operating expenses. Consequently, EBITDA margin declined to 46% from 49% in the first half of 2013, but improved from 45% in the second half of 2013. Reported net income for the first half of 2014 was higher by 2% year-on-year and 27% compared with the second half of 2013. Core net income grew by 2% or $400 million year-on-year to $19.8 billion. On the second slide, consolidated service revenues rose by $1.5 billion or 2% year-on-year to $82.5 billion at the end of June 2014. The upward momentum in our growing data and broadband businesses resulted in a 20% year-on-year increase to $20.3 billion in revenues. These now account for a quarter of our total service revenues, significantly higher than the 15% contribution from our declining legacy international voice and national long-distance revenues of $12.7 billion. During the period, the combined revenues from cellular domestic voice, SMS, and LEC reduced by 1.2 billion or 2% to 49.6 billion pesos, mainly due to the 2.6 billion decline in SMS revenues, which exceeded the 1.3 billion peso increase in LEC and cellular domestic voice revenues. EBITDA margin for the period stood at 46%, higher than the 45% in the second half of 2013. Consolidated EBITDA decreased by 4% year-on-year to $38.2 billion due to higher cash expenses resulting from operating an expanded network, residual post-2013 Typhoon Yolanda restoration expenses, and increases in subsidies and other selling expenses resulting from a greater push to grow our postpaid business. As previously discussed, this is on page 4. As previously discussed, PLDT expects core income to rise from 38.7 billion in 2013 to 39.5 billion in 2014. For the first 6 months, core net income rose by 400 million or 2% year on year to 19.8 billion, of which 10.1 billion was recorded in the second quarter. The increase was due to higher revenues, lower net financing costs, and the recognition of gains from the sale of Meralco shares by Beacon. These more than fully offset the rise in subsidies, operating expenses, and income taxes. Reported net income at the end of June 2014 was 300 million, or 2% higher year-on-year at 20 billion, due to higher net forex derivative gains during the period and the contribution from discontinued operations in 2013. On the next slide, you will be pleased to note that the PLDT Board of Directors today approved a change in PLDT's dividend policy, increasing the regular dividend payout rate to 75% from 70% of core earnings, while maintaining the look back where we determine the possibility of a special dividend. In line with the revised dividend policy, the Board of Directors declared an interim regular dividend of 69 pesos per share, representing 75% of core earnings for the first 6 months of 2014. The dividend per share is 6 pesos or 10% higher than the interim dividend for 2013. The record date for the dividend is August 28, while the payment date is September 26. Next slide, let me now discuss highlights of the various businesses, starting with broadband. The growth momentum for broadband resulted in a 22% or 2.7 billion year-on-year increase in broadband revenues to 15.4 billion for the first 6 months of 2013, or 19% of total service revenues. The PLDT Group's broadband subscriber base grew to over 3.6 million at the end of June 2014, consisting of over 1 million fixed broadband and 2.6 million wireless broadband subscribers. Fixed broadband grew by 13% to 6.7 billion pesos, following an 11% rise in subscribers. Wireless broadband revenues improved by 7% to 4.9 billion as a result of a 12% increase in subscribers. Strongest growth was generated from mobile internet usage, with revenues higher by 77% at 3.7 billion pesos, as smartphone ownership among our subscriber base grew to over 20% and usage up by 121%. On the next slide, wireless service revenues for the first 6 months, 2014, were ahead of last year by 300 million. At 57.9 billion, mainly due to the sustained rise in broadband and mobile data revenues. In addition to the 1.6 billion peso rise in mobile internet revenues, as mentioned earlier, domestic cellular voice revenues of 18.4 billion increased by 1.2 billion, partly compensating for the 2.6 billion decrease in SMS and VAS revenues. The reduction in SMS count in the first half of 2014 was due to some shifting to voice calls under postpaid plans and the use of alternative messaging services. We are closely monitoring this downward trend in SMS revenues, although it should be noted that the quarter-on-quarter decline in SMS revenues for the second quarter of 300 million pesos is significantly lower than the 800 million peso quarter-on-quarter decline for the first quarter 2014. Our postpaid subscriber base expanded to 2.6 million at the end of June, generating revenues of 10.4 billion, or 20% of cellular data and voice revenues. Postpaid revenues registered a 1.3 billion increase over last year, which exceeded the 500 million rise in subsidies. Wireless EBITDA for the first semester of 2014 decreased by 2.6 billion, or 9%, to 25.5 billion pesos. As earlier mentioned, this was due to higher subsidies and operating expenses related to an expanded network, residual post Typhoon Yolanda restoration costs, and the push to grow revenues. EBITDA margin dipped to 44% from 45% in second half to 2013, partly due to the structural change in the wireless revenue mix and the greater proportion of postpaid revenues to total revenues. On the next slide, moving now to the fixed line, this segment posted an increase in service revenues of 1.5 billion, or 6% year-on-year to 28.1 billion net of interconnection cost. Data revenues, which accounted for 53% of total fixed line revenues, underpinned the growth. Corporate data revenues registered a 7% increase to 7 billion. In addition to this, data center revenues hit the 1 billion peso mark, reflecting an 18% increase from last year. Fixed line broadband revenues grew by 14% to 6.7 billion due to an 11% rise in subscribers. At the end of June 2014, fixed line EBITDA grew by 1.2 billion or 11% year on year to 12.6 billion pesos. EBITDA margin rose to 39% from 35% for the second half of 2013 and from 36% for the full year of 2013. PLDT ended the first semester of 2014 with 2.2 million fixed line subscribers, of which over 1 million, or 47%, have fixed broadband subscription. On the next slide, we are elated about the largely untapped potential that data and broadband holds for the individual and home markets. Our initiatives to harness this potential includes growing the cellular postpaid base, low-denomination data sachets, and the use of content for greater customer engagement that would help build habit and increase frequency of data usage. The unrivaled integrated fixed and wireless network of the PLDT Group has the capacity, resiliency, and reach that will allow us to respond to our individual and home customers' communications needs. On the next slide, for the enterprise segment, the overall sustained improvement in the economy has triggered business expansions for corporates, SMEs, and BPOs, which in turn has generated demand for greater telco services. We offer enterprise solutions that include Ethernet, cloud computing, and data center services, among others. In response to the increasing awareness of the importance of cloud computing and data centers, we are building two more data centers to cement our position of having the largest rack capacity in the country. By end 2015, our rack capacity will expand from over 2,200 today to over 6,600. Key to our market leadership in the enterprise space is our ability to enable businesses using the power of the PLDT Group network. On the next slide, Turning now to the balance sheet, net debt at the end of June 2014 was $1.8 billion, with net debt to EBITDA of 1.05 times. 44% of gross debt is denominated in U.S. dollars. Taking into account our U.S. cash holdings and hedges, only about $900 million, or 32% of our total debt, is unhedged. There is a natural hedge provided by our dollar-linked revenues, which amounted to $400 million U.S. dollars, of about 20% of service revenues. 61% of our debt are fixed-rate loans. PLDT's debt profile remains healthy, with maturities well spread out. Over 70% of our debt is due to mature in 2017 and beyond. PLDT's credit ratings with Fitch, Moody's, Standard & Poor's remain at the investment grade. On the next slide, free cash flow for the first half of the year was lower by $2.6 billion, or 13%, at $18.1 billion, largely due to higher capex and income taxes paid. For 2014, we expect capex of between $31 to $32 billion, or between 18 to 20% of the service revenues. At the end of June 2014, capex amounted to 8.1 billion pesos. Ongoing network activities include expansion of our data network with our combined 3G, HSPA Plus, and 4G population cover now at 82%. Extending the fiber optic network to over 88,000 kilometers. Increase in FD and TD LTE coverage to around 1,800 base stations. Reinforcement of existing network infrastructure to improve resiliency against severe weather conditions. This includes buried fiber links, deployment of supersized base stations, and the construction of elevated equipment shelters, among others. Enhancing the group's multimedia capability through additional VDSL coverage and building out of additional FTTH and NGN lines. We continue with the integration of Sun and Smart Networks, as well as various projects aimed to enhance our multimedia and IT capabilities. That ends my presentation. Let me now turn over to our chairman, MVP, for outlook for the rest of the year and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Good afternoon to all of you. In respect of guidance for 2014, we're maintaining our core net income number at $39.5 billion, which was a number earlier conveyed to you, I think sometime in March this year. So that's about 800 million pesos higher, or 2% higher than the 2013 core income. In capex, it's similar to what we had earlier conveyed, 31 to 32 billion for the year, no more than 20% of service revenues on a consolidated basis. In capital management, we have adjusted somewhat our interim dividend policy, now being 75% of interim core instead of the usual 70%, and it's likely we can maintain our 100% dividend payout for the full year of core. And if that were to happen, that would be the eighth consecutive year that PLDT has given out dividends being 100% of core income.
We'll now open the floor for questions. We'll first take questions from those who joined us from the conference facility before we take questions from the floor. Operator.
Thank you. The floor is now open for your questions. If you have questions, please press star and then one slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star two key. Our first question comes from Luis Hilado of HSBC. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call and congrats on the results. I have three questions. The first one is regarding outlook for the second half. As you've reaffirmed your guidance for the full year, just wondering in the second half whether this will be boosted by further sales in Meralco or it's going to be cost reduction driving it or revenue push. The second question is, as Mr. Nazareno mentioned about SMS, the erosion seems to have slowed down in this quarter versus the previous quarter. What would you attribute this to? I think in the previous quarter you mentioned the free Facebook promotion was part of the pressure behind it. Is that now the reason why it's not as bad? And last question is, the lower financing costs for the quarter, is that a sustainable trend that we're going to see going forward?
On the financing cost, I guess it will be partly a function of where the exchange rate will be because we still have some dollar liabilities and dollar interest expense. But on a general basis, we don't see a significant sort of spike in our financing cost in the second half.
Yeah.
I think, Louis, there's no additional sales planned in respect of the Beacon position. That's not to say there might not be some transactions in the second half, but it won't involve Beacon. I think Polly will address the issue on the outlook for the SMS.
Okay. Louis, you were right. The free Facebook added to the pressure on the SMS, downward pressure, and that was stopped sometime towards the end of April this year, and and therefore the ensuing reduction on SMS revenues went down to $300 million from roughly about $800 million the previous quarter when this was in effect. We see that there will be further erosions, but not to the same magnitude when there was free Facebook. We have recently launched certain service offerings that would enhance the quality and the relevance of SMS and the sexiness of SMS. And right now, we have offered, as a first salvo, the text chat, which you can do now on text. And therefore, we're really catering to the more than 45% of feature phone owners still in our subscriber base. And at the same time, manage the long tail of SMS.
Great. I just had one follow-up question regarding the second half. Since it's not likely to be a Meralco, have Meralco gains too much, is it going to be more of a cost reduction driving the performance in the second half, or you're more bullish in terms of revenue outlook?
I think that's correct, Louis. We are looking at our cost structure now, and especially because we are undergoing a shift in our business structure or in the dynamics of our services. Firstly, there is more prepaid. There's more postpaid. So there is a shift from the high-end prepaid to postpaid. And secondly, the international inbound is also going down, creating the pressure on our SMS and thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rama Maruvada. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, with regards to your wireless business, just trying to get a better sense of what's driving the volume trends. If you were to look at even the voice call, the volumes are down. Subscribers, you seem to have lost subscribers for the quarter. SMS count is down. So just trying to understand, is it a function of competition and or how should we think about the volume as well as subscriber trends going forward? That will be good. The second one is with regards to the wireless EBITDA margins. Again, there seems to be we seem to have a little bit of a margin erosion this quarter. If you could just point towards what you think would be sustainable EBITDA margins for the wireless business, and if there are any one-offs in this quarter, that will be good.
Rama, the voice calls, regarding the domestic voice, revenues have increased by 7%, and this is largely due to the shift prepaid to postpaid, and the shift from unlimited to bucket priced products, and these are consciously driven by our marketing people. Not necessarily an increase in minutes, but the yield has gone up from about how much was it? From 63 to 70 plus centavos per minute. Well, we're looking at reviewing the costs at this point, and on the cellular side, our margin is right now at 44%, and we're hoping that this would be enhanced in the second half as we review our costs and we look at how we can restructure ourselves to adjust to the new dynamics of the business.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah, that should be sufficient. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nia Zaratraj. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I had about two or three questions. Just in terms of, I know there was already a question on cost and margins and things like that. I just want to understand in this pickup in sales and marketing, are you also booking some of the subsidies under that, or is it just purely advertising campaigns? That's my first question. And secondly, just on the cost side of things, I know you said you have to look at this cost structure, but where do you think there's room to sort of improve the cost structure better, and how long will it take, for example, to see that transition come through, if at all? The second question is also on the competitive side of things. I know that there was a Facebook free promo offer, and perhaps because of that there's been some SMS impact, but it just seems like, I know you PLDT has this whole we need to price the offerings kind of approach, but then how do you sort of react to when competition does this, even if it's not on a sustained basis, but if it's on a one-off sort of offers, but it keeps consistently coming up? Do you feel like you need to review your strategy? And my last question is, last year in the back half, you had a low tax rate. Should we expect something like that in the back half of this year as well? Thank you.
On your first question on the selling expenses, that doesn't include subsidies, which are really booked in the cost of sales versus whatever you collect is in non-service revenues. But there are some costs related to subscriber acquisition. So, for example, if you pay commissions to sales agents, those types of costs would be in the selling and promotions costs, aside from A&P and other sort of selling agents that you may deploy. In terms of where there is scope for improvement on the cost side, I guess there's a continuation of the integration of the networks of Smart and Sun. So we are proceeding with respect to that, and there should be some savings with respect to rent, utilities, maintenance, etc., as we try to put the network together and some of also of the stores and other back offices. And then on the low tax rate, just I skipped to the last question for the competition question. We think that generally this the tax rate should probably be around where we are in the first half. There's always scope to review towards the year end, particularly as there are some tax losses in some of the vehicles where we can try to look at.
Sorry, just to come back on the SNP question. So even if a subscriber is recontracting and going in for a new smartphone, that still comes under the subsidies rather than the selling and promotions?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then just on the cost side, I mean, you said network cost, but it seems like that's where sort of the costs have actually picked up also. If I look at in the last 6 quarters or so, your rents are up, your repairs and maintenance are up. So is there like any new timeline that we could look at?
Well, there are several things. Like on the rent side, we're obviously expanding the number of sites. We're expanding our scope of coverage, and also by delivering data, you also have certain rent expenses with respect to delivering, you know, from the international side, these circuits. There are expenses related also in the aftermath of Yolanda. So post Yolanda, there's higher fuel costs, higher, I guess, some extra rental costs that we had to bear as a result of the typhoon sort of aftermath.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. Our next question.
Sorry, I just
Mira on competition. Your second question on competition.
Yeah.
What was your question again?
Oh, sorry. I just said, like, for example, your SMS sort of got impacted based on these short-term promos, right, from competition. And it seems like from time to time they do rejig this. I'm just wondering, like, if, you know, you have to sort of review your competitive strategy as well versus, I mean, going ahead, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, it is pretty dynamic in terms of the short-term sort of promotions and offers that that are being offered by the different brands. So you're right, we do respond to what the competition does in that respect.
All right, thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
No, that's it from me. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Chate Ben. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask the questions. I have three questions in total. The first one is, again, related to revenue and competitions. Basically, if you look at the, in terms of the number of subscribers in conjunction with the volume as well, it seems like you are losing subscriber market share to your peers, and therefore that translates into a loss of revenue market share as well. Would you think at the current point in time you should try to do something to gain that subscriber momentum yet back in order to kind of catch up on the revenue growth side? Should we expect that to pick up? The second question is regarding your change in the dividend payout. I understand that, and this has partly been clarified as well, but I just would like to understand, you have been paying 100% payout over the past 7 years, and as much as that's not called as regular, seems to be perceived by the market as being kind of regular and best case assumption already. So how or what's the rationale behind changing from 70 to 75%, and whether that has any implication on your 100% payout? The third thing is, in your statement, seems to be talking about reviewing exciting opportunities in broadband and ICT, and that you expect to announce some details of that soon. Is there anything or that you can share right now? What kind of opportunity or assets you are looking, and what kind of time frame we are looking at? Thank you.
Let me try to answer the first question, which is the subscriber base. We had a cleanup in the subscriber base, an additional one, which is the final shoe that has dropped on talk and text. This is in relation to its Alcancia promo of a reduction of 1.4 million subscribers. But let me just point out, and this is very important, that the BLR active subscriber base grew by 4% in the first half of this year compared to last year. So in terms of utilization of the network and in terms of actual usage, there has been a growth from 60% utilization to 67% utilization of the network, which is the more important thing, because the BLR is something that we constantly monitor on a daily basis. So that gives you an indication of activity in our subscriber base. The 1.4 million that we have reduced from the base on talk and text, additional one, is they did not have any revenues at all anymore. What's the second question? I think dividend.
I think, Jason, no big change in the dividend policy. I think it remains a split between a regular dividend and a special dividend. I think we're just moving it up a little bit by 5%, given that we have been paying close to 100% for the past, I think, 6-7 years now. So really more a reflection of that. I think Manny might say one or to comments on the internet opportunity.
Well, we have been looking at the rather broad spectrum of investment opportunities in the internet space, and we have come down to two possible candidates for both investments and strategic partnerships. One of the two is we're in an advanced state of discussion. And so I think there's the reference to an announcement that could be made quite soon. I think that's all we could say at the moment. I think it's actually a quite exciting opportunity for us. It's not just making an investment in that particular internet company, but also striking strategic initiatives with them, no? in various activities.
Thank you very much. Just a follow-up questions on two things. Regarding the dividend, just to put it in the simplest term, so we should still continue to expect 100% payout, or should we not? Whether that the new M&A activities would have any bearing on that, right? And regarding the acquisition opportunity, if I may ask, are you looking to strike a deal that would actually be supporting the revenue generation of existing revenues, or we are talking more of a new revenue stream altogether from the new business? Thank you.
I think in terms of the dividends, it remains broadly the same position, that we have this concept of the regular dividend and the look back. I think just the move from 70 to 75% doesn't change that. It remains that we'll pay the regular dividend, get to the end or the beginning of the following year, and then see if the 100% be paid. And I think, as Polly said in his or Manny said in his remarks, I think our target remains to pay that. In terms of any transaction that we're looking at, I think, again, you may recall we still have a fair amount of the proceeds from the SBI transaction that have not yet been utilized. And the Beacon transaction in 2Q will, when we had some initial payments and get an additional payment, will also generate additional funds for us. So we're more looking to reallocate these funds rather than to use the regular recurring cash flow for the acquisition activity. On whether it will generate new revenues or enhance existing revenues, I think what Manny said, again, was that this is not just an investment for us. It is an opportunity for us to make a strategic investment. And, again, we can't say too much at the moment. It will just probably be in hopefully a few days' time. But you will see, I think, it's an opportunity for us to actually enhance some of our existing businesses. But, again, we have to be a little bit cautious in what we say at this stage.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Three questions for me. You mentioned the cleanup of the dormant subs in the mobile space, and I just wanted to get some clarity on where the subs position should be if we exclude such cleanup activities. So I'm wondering if the end of Globe's free Facebook promotion in April may have resulted in any subsequent usage or subscriber migration back to PLDT in June or July, or is there still no signs of that? Second question, I'm wondering what's the key difference on the SMS front between yourself and your competitor? They seem to have a much more stable SMS revenue momentum. Any major differences between your offers and theirs, which is driving this difference? Lastly, just to clarify on the sales and promotional trends, given that this does not include handset subsidies, what's been driving up a significant increase year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter? Are you seeing elevated levels of competition materializing in the market now, which necessitates the additional spending? Thank you.
I think the, as Mr. Nazareno indicated earlier, in terms of the what he termed the VLR or active subscriber base, there's about a 4% increase in VLR, notwithstanding that the headline subscriber numbers are down because of the cleanup in the base.
If you were doing that on a Q&Q basis, so we have a better matching, is it? How does it compare, let's say, Q&Q?
That was the 4%.
Oh, the 4% is Q&Q, okay.
The 4% increase in our active subscribers that come out in the switch at any one point in time. And so... right now, we were looking at about 45 million coming out in the switch, which was an increase of 4% compared to last year, same period last year. So that is the measurement.
I think, frankly, we sort of talked about this thing in many respects. I think the old paradigm was that a measure of how you're growing is the number of subscribers you're adding each quarter, each whatever, each semester, right? And I think those days are gone. It's, you know, increasing sub base. I mean, given in the context of a changing paradigm of the business, particularly on the cellular side, it's not a real measure of how revenues and profits could grow. So there was a cleanup, I think, end of last year. There was a further cleanup within the first half this year. That's why the sub base has gone down to about 68 million. And what Paul is saying is that the ratio of the active subscribers to subscriber base has actually risen this past, I would say, past 12 months, right? And that's because those are your active and revenue-generating subscribers. That's a real measure of what counts, no? In terms of revenues and bottom line, right? So it's not the old days where, you know, you grew your sub base by X million each period. No? So that's, I think that's what we're saying.
Understood. On the SMS side?
Generally, along the SMS side, you know, the voice and SMS promos are generally in line with each other, given that these are more, traditional variants that we offer. Then on your question on the selling and promo higher expenses in the second quarter, I think it's a bit of a timing. Last year, the spend on A&P and some other selling expenses were more back-ended in the second semester, whereas in this year, we deliberately did a more even-out spending program.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Navin Kila. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions kind of related. First, with regards to this free Facebook promotion of Globe, you know, over the period of the last 6-9 months, would you have an estimate of the number of customers that you might have lost to Globe? Because if you look at their numbers, both their voice as well as SMS revenues have been growing. So I would imagine that they've probably taken some traffic from your network. And then the second question, which has been asked in different forms before, with regards to the revenue market share, it continues to inch down. You know, could be promotions from the competition, could be other factors. But is there a number which you would consider your threshold and where you would which would trigger a more significant reaction from PLDT? Because I guess the question is, again, you know, how long can this trend of market share loss continue and how do you address it over the longer term?
On the free Facebook promo, our sort of analysis of the impact is that our subscribers, some of our subscribers did take on a second SIM to take advantage of the free Facebook promo of the competition. So they didn't give up their SIM from our side, but they did take on a second SIM. So to some extent, their usage of text and voice did get diluted from our end towards the other side, given that they had now two SIMs that were active.
If I may add, I think also what is important to note is that in terms of subscriber base, our unique subscribers in the second quarter of this year compared to the first has remained more or less the same. And in fact, it has improved slightly. So therefore, it is not so much the subs moving into the other side, to the other side, but it is more the usage has gone down, mainly because of the free Facebook. They started taking advantage, as what Annabelle was saying, of the SIM, the Facebook SIM of the other side.
So would that then mean, as that promotion has been taken away, have you seen the usage come back to you, or have they stayed on the other side?
Well, to a certain extent, yes, because if you look at the SMS revenues in the second quarter, the decline is not now just even less than half of the decline of the first quarter, which was 800 million pesos, whereas the second quarter was 300 million.
Okay. And any thoughts on my second question, I guess, with regards to longer-term trends around market share and how do you stop that?
Question is market share. Is that a threshold at which we will go berserk? Is that the question? That's not the question, right? To be honest, I guess there will be a threshold under which we'll be alarmed. That, you know, if the market share, whether in sub numbers or in revenue terms, it will get to a point of concern. What the number is, I don't know. I don't think we do. We focus on that. I think if you look at the results for the first half, which is probably symptomatic of the full year results, the fixed line business is doing very well. And probably one of the few fixed line businesses in the world where growth is coming, both in terms of the revenues and in EBITDA contribution. Revenues are up by $1.5 billion for the first semester, net of interconnect, and expenses are flat. So that's why the EBITDA margin fixed has risen from 35%. To about 39%. Now, the opposite phenomenon has happened on the cellular side, where revenues have gone up by about a billion, I think, for the first half, and expenses have gone up by $3 billion. So our focus is really on managing the expense base as we speak, because that's where we got hit in terms of the margins of the cellular business and uplifting whatever constraints there might be on the revenue side. And part of that is the free Facebook offering of Globe, I may say that, right, which should terminate pretty soon. So that has been, as had an adverse effect on the SMS volume for the first half of this year. But I think we have to address as well the expense side, because clearly the business model of the cellular business is, you know, it's changing very fast, and it's upon us already. So we have to really look at our expense base and how we should be better organized in order to accommodate not only the changing revenue mix, but as well the expense base moving forward. We just cannot accept that this expense base will continue in a business where the margins are dropping, right? As we switch from legacy, which we are trying our best to long tail SMS and voice, which have high margin business, into data broadband, which are lower margins. And the only way to improve that would be not only the revenue and the sub base, but as well the expense base. That's the reality. Is there a panic button level? Well, maybe we'll focus on that, but I think we have to focus first on what's happening on our cellular business, which is changing. It is changing, and changing very rapidly.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2. Our next question comes from Kunal Vora. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you, sir. A couple of questions. First is, can you provide some insights on the media broadcasting business, Television 5, how it's done in the first half, what kind of losses are incurred, and how it's being financed? That's one. Second is, if I look at your mobile internet revenue, the growth in mobile internet revenue in absolute terms is lagging the decline in SMS revenue. When do you expect this to change? Are we pricing data right? The data growth seems to be slower compared to the cannibalization in SMS. Thank you.
Insights on the media business in the first half, losses and how they are financed.
was the hard question.
Well, in terms of the media assets, I think we have to be drill down a bit to the specifics, right? In terms of the...
Television 5, sorry, TV 5. More focused on the broadcasting side, TV 5.
No, but you have to get the full picture, okay?
Okay.
Number one is that the print assets are doing quite well, right? So no problem, they're making money and they're dividend paying. Number two is the Signal Television, which has already broken even in the first semester this year, not only EBITDA, but in terms of the bottom line, on an accrual basis. And it's growing extremely fast. As we speak, we are at least 750,000 subs, and more likely by the end of this month, 800,000 subs on Signal. So it is, in sub numbers, about equal to the combined Sky Cable and Destiny Cable sub base of ABS-CBN. Okay, where the problem is really on the TV5, which is your bet noir, right? Now, the losses are continuing, but on a declining basis. So we have managed to increase somewhat the revenues on a modest way on the TV5 broadcasting, but expenses have gone down. So I think we're being more efficient in terms of how we manage the TV5 business. But it won't be a quick turnaround. I think we've said that, right? So it will probably take 2 to 3 years before we can see a break-even position for TV5. So that is a moment of concern for us, and it's being addressed. But it will have to be addressed. The solution will have to be a medium-term solution.
I think with regards to the mobile internet revenues, as mentioned earlier, the revenues grew by 77%. And let me point out that in terms of volume, in the first half of this year, the traffic that went through mobile internet was over 15,000 terabytes, which is roughly 121% more than same period of last year. So the volumes are going up, and the revenues are also following, but not as much. So we're looking at how we can monetize even further the volumes that are coming through. Now, with regards to your statement that it's lagging behind the erosion in SMS, well, that is true, but in the first quarter, but in the second quarter erosion or decline, it is no longer lagging. But this is a continuing balancing act for us. As the smartphone penetration goes up, right now we estimate that the total penetration is maybe at 27%, including the smartphones that do not come out in our switch because they are not under the 3GPP standards. So it is moving up already, and therefore that is the thing that we have to balance.
Okay. So just one follow-up. On TV5, would it be possible to give some guidance on the loss for this year?
Basically, the funding, I think if you're going to the funding, I think we're looking maybe between now and the end of the year, there'll be an additional funding of about 2 to 2.5 billion pesos. But that is not direct funding by PLDT. The actual TV5 assets are owned by the PLDT Retirement Fund. So PLDT will contribute additional amounts to the Retirement Fund to partially fund that. But it's not a direct accounting from the PLDT perspective.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As of the meantime, we don't have any more questions. I'll hand the call back to Ms. Melissa.
If there are questions from people in the hotel, there are microphones in the aisles. Going once. If there are no more questions, I'll turn the facility over to the operator for the replay information.
Thank you. I would like to give everyone the instant replay information for today's call. This conference will be available on a 24-hour instant replay starting today, daily, on through August 19, 2014. The replay information for this 3 p.m. call, the international caller number is country code 852, number is 3018-4365. A U.S. toll-free number of 1-888-566-0360. Code will be 8087. The conference leader is Ms. Melissa Verhel de Dios. I will now turn the conference back to PLDT for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you all. Well, thank you all for joining us this afternoon. And we look forward to seeing you in respect of the third quarter results. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who deserves that title?
Thank you all. That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line in your own time.